To answer is human. To question is divine. Welcome to the world of the Hidden Gateway, an exhilarating podcast exploring the concepts humans have been struggling with since the dawn of existence, such as, who are we? Is there such a thing as good and evil, or are they arbitrary constructs? Does the paranormal exist? How can we evolve to a higher state? Can our mind influence what we term as reality? Providing a transcendental approach combined with hard-nosed humanistic analysis, we invite you on a journey to question your worldview in this theater of life. Join our host, Justin Williams, as he explores the outer realms of faith, the supernatural, human potential, and even our concepts of the universal creator with a fascinating array of guests. This is the unseen world, magical, mysterious, and mystical, where your only limitation is your imagination. This is the Hidden Gateway.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you back to yet another episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. As always, I'm your host, Justin Williams, and today I have a phenomenal guest. This is someone I've been wanting to speak to for several weeks now, and she is on the show. No other than comedian and podcaster extraordinaire, Jessa Reed. Jessa, what's going on?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And like I said, this is a treat for me. I've been wanting to get you on the show, as you know, and I first learned about you, I think it's about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago.
Okay.
A good friend told me about you. I guess he follows you. He's seen a ton of your podcasts and tunes into your YouTube channel. He's like, Justin, you got to get Jessa on the show. She's a great person, hilarious, with some hell of a stories to tell. So I was like, cool. He was talking my language. I said, Jessa might as well be talking my language. So here we are, my friend.
Awesome. My condolences to your friend. That's a lot of my voice. I really don't know how anyone does it.
Oh, I see. I know this is going to be good already. You are a comedian. So, hey, you know, I'm always interested to know how people got to where they are today. You know,
yeah.
You don't have to give me the 2-hour spiel about it all, unless you want to. I'm fine with that. But, you know, I want to know, like, obviously you podcast, as I said, and you're a comedian. Was there like a pivotal moment in your life where you said, damn, this is something I need to do? What got you doing what you do today?
I'll try to do the short version. You know, as a kid, had a traumatic childhood. You know, the standard for X generation, little extra trauma, but, there was just always something right as when I got around the age where you realize Santa Claus isn't real and the adults start telling you like magic isn't real or whatever. And I remember just being like, are you sure? And then when the adults started to present what reality is about, according to them, I was like, so wait a second, we work jobs we don't like to pay for houses so that we have a place to put our body in between work. This doesn't make any fucking sense. And it never felt true to me that magic wasn't real. And this is way before the Truman Show came out, but I just felt like I was living in the Truman Show. And so I became a seeker, but you know, this is like I'm almost 50. So this was pre-internet. And so I did about 5 years in Christianity.
Wait.
47. That's pretty close to almost 50.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. You look damn good for your age.
Thank you.
You do?
Yeah, totally. I haven't had any work done, for sure.
Good for you.
totally natural. Yeah, so I started trying to find the curtain, I guess. Like where's the set? How do we find the end of the set? And I looked for it in Jesus. So I did about 5 years as a born again Christian in the ministry, married to a pastor's son, and didn't find it there. Went straight from there to stand-up comedy on accident. A stand-up comedy pretty quickly led to meth. All of these stories can be found on the internet. And as soon as I did meth, and I'm not trying to sell meth to your audience, it's very different now. It's all fentanyl. I felt like I found it and or that I was going to find it. And that turned out to be true. I left society, I guess, to live in this kind of like underbelly of people that do drugs. And I got away from time. That was one thing that was really interesting, is like time didn't exist in this group of people who did drugs. It was also like a lot of psychedelic drugs, and I had done a lot of psychedelic drugs when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. But I had never really been introduced to spiritual concepts outside of religion. And because I think if I had, it may have clicked sooner. But about a year, I guess it wasn't even a year, about 8 months into doing drugs on a daily basis, I had a near-death experience in January of 2000 at a club called The Ohm, because reality is not real. And I died, and I got somebody threw me in a cab and took me to the hospital. And when I was dead, I woke up in it felt like I was in a blue room. I didn't have a body. And I was a part of the blue room, but I knew I was my own self, which this stuff used to be really hard to explain. But now I feel like people just get this, you know, because we're waking up. And the blue ball said, you learned everything you came to learn. You did everything you came to do. And the thing I had learned that day was that nothing outside of me, good or bad, could affect me without me choosing the effect. It was the very first time I'd ever said anything or thought about anything. I was like trying to talk a friend out of the rafters.
Wow. And that is powerful. Let me stop you right there. Say that again.
Nothing outside of you can affect you, whether good or bad, without you letting it, which might be called victim blaming these days. So as I was saying this to this person, because it's one of these things that just spills out of your mouth without you, like, I'm like, I don't know where that came from. I sat there and I was like, me getting molested as a child, being abused by my mom as a child, like all of these, you know, getting cheated on in relationships, like all these horrible things I'd experienced. I was like, oh, I did get to decide, because I had a tendency, as kind of a survivor personality. So I do have a tendency to, I have an objectivity kind of to my relationship with experience that is different than how a lot of other people experience the reality. And I'm like, oh, the narrative. I get to write the narrative. And this is kind of bumper sticker shit now, but this was like 2000. This is mind-blowing, holding paradox, whatever. And so I'm assuming that was that was my karmic lesson for this lifetime. And so the voice said, you learned everything you came to learn. You completed everything you came to complete. You are free to stay if you want. Now, this thing that I was in was a buzzing. And if you've ever done like ecstasy or Molly, the bliss buzz, I mean, this was that homesickness that we all just kind of vaguely have in the background, the suffering of being in a human existence, all gone, just absolute bliss. So there was no part of giving a shit that I died happening in this moment. This was like, you can stay in the ball if you want, or if you want to go back, you can go back. We have a job for you. That's what it was. We have a job for you if you want to go back.
Now, who do you think that voice was? Do you think it was God or your higher self, angels, or what?
So my belief is that, like, and there is like a series of microcosms in this, I think, is that if you rewind all the way back to the 12th, like the highest dimension, whatever, we are all one big, just kind of vibrating imagination, splitting itself to just play out different scenarios. Mm-hmm. I believe that what we are experiencing as Gaia or Earth here in the Matrix is another microcosm of that, where we are all one organism here, a part of the Earth experiencing that. But then the Earth is a part of another organism that's like, you know, and inside my body, there's a bunch of parasites and bacteria experiencing their galaxy, but it's actually just my body. In that, I think was probably Sirius. And that energy that I was talking with, I think that whatever consciousness I'm currently experiencing identifies as a part of another consciousness where I probably spend more of my time, but I've brought that consciousness here to do some work. A lot of New Age stuff is really eye-rolly for me, but then a lot of the stuff I say sounds kind of adjacent. So I there maybe like the light worker idea, but I think it's less grandiose. So Sirius, I think, collective consciousness, I don't know. It didn't feel like the everything. It felt like, okay. Do you remember Mork and Mindy?
I do.
Yeah. It felt like that. It felt like I felt like I was talking kind of to I was home, but it didn't feel like the ultimate home. You know, it still felt like it was in separation consciousness somewhere.
Very familiar place, huh? Very familiar place that you had been before. Okay.
Yeah. And there was definitely like a yes, no thank you to go back to the reality where there's like toothaches and heartbreaks and whatever. Yeah. But in that moment, I was like, well, what's the job? Who are the people is what I said. Mm-hmm. And then I come to in the hospital. But before I could come to in the hospital, I had to live my entire life to get to the moment. So I was a baby, then a toddler, then it was really fast. And to where I was sucking my thumb when I woke up in the hospital because I was a baby like a moment ago. And then friends of mine, I'm using friends in air quotes, a boyfriend situation and then a kind of an ex or whatever are the people standing there. They have flowers. They're standing at the hospital bed. There's a doctor who doesn't give two shits about me because they think I'm a drug addict. And I can hear everyone's thoughts. And then I just was gone again. I was back in the blue ball light and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So I wake back up in the hospital. I'm driving everyone nuts because I'm immediately like, at this point, I think I'm a backslidden Christian. Like up until this point, I'm like years, you know, away from Christianity, but I still just think I'm a backslidden Christian. And I am talking to other people who identify as backslidden Christians. And I'm like, I talk to God and it's us. Like we're all a part of this thing. And I'm like instantly know so much information. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so then I am at night when I'm sleeping. There's something about when you do meth, you just hypnagogic sleep. It's like, yeah, you don't ever, because you have meth in your system, but your body needs to sleep. And so there's a lot of hypnagogic sleep. And so then that started what we have since named alien school, where I was being trained by what looked like aliens. I don't believe they were extraterrestrial aliens. I think they were just higher consciousness that, this is a theory of mine, the reason they were showing up as aliens is because I felt alien here on Earth, and it's just what my consciousness,
okay,
whatever.
And you were experiencing this alien school during sleep, is that right?
Yeah. So have you ever played with like hypnagogic, like a lot of people put a lot of effort into, you can do a lot in the hypnagogic state, which is just that short window between falling asleep and then being deep asleep.
You know what? I haven't, you know, purposely played with it, but I had a hell of an experience in that window probably about 2 years ago. I really did. It was really trippy. Like seriously.
It's apparently very magic. I didn't really even hear of it until the last couple of years, but I was like, oh, that's the whole time you're asleep on meth. Like it's very lucid. And so, for the next few years, aliens taught me in a school. I was like in a classroom and they taught me a lot of things that I use every day. And they taught me a lot of things I've not gotten to use yet. Like I've been taught how to do telekinesis, but I've never made it work. I've been taught how to levitate, but I've never made it work. I think that I've not gotten to the point in my own frequency journey that I'm able to have those experiences yet. But when I do get to that point, I will be able to have those experiences. But they taught me an enormous amount about how people operate and what's going on. And anyway, after a few months, I tried to, what they told me the work was, is I was going to gather a tribe of beings that had like seeded themselves into the matrix because reality was a video game and it was going to switch to a different video game. And they said that all the parameters were going to switch and the whole world as we knew it was going to switch and that certain beings had to be here to guide the humans that were like evolving here, had to guide them through the transition so they didn't mass exodus. Which typically happens in between, like usually they just wipe the slate and then they all just reincarnate, but they were going to try to get everyone through it. And at this point, I've not come in contact with any new age stuff. So this is just cuckoo banana shit that I'm learning in dreams. And I just know it's true because everything they say, I'm like, yeah, I knew something was up. I knew this it was not this work shit. I knew that.
I knew it.
This makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that story's kind of long. I guess when I came back, I was like, yes, I knew it. And I just thought I was going to be able to tell everyone else. Because, you know, in the 90s, you're like, 80s and 90s, there's so much propaganda about like absolute truth. And all you have to do is get the truth to the newspaper.
Right.
And then everyone will know. And then you come back and you're trying to explain like, no, reality's not real. And you sound like, because the humans in the Matrix have error correcting code. So you sound like Charlie Brown's teacher, or if you're, you know, a lot of people wake up in not on meth and they get 5150'd and shit because, you know, they sound crazy. Luckily it was like, okay. Cause every, you know, tweakers are like talking to shadow people or whatever anyway. So then I tried to exit the Matrix a couple of times. I tried to say like, just kidding, picked the wrong door. Please let me come back.
Oh, wow.
And that does not work. You actually can't do that. You just end up on a different, slightly different timeline.
Yeah. Okay.
And so after I worked through that grief and eventually forgot what the bliss ball felt like, I did like an internship. I can shut up whenever you'd like.
No, keep going. This is so good. So good.
I did an internship with aliens for the next like 4 years. Yeah. And then I guess when I was finished, I just got clean. It felt like it was wrapping up. And then I got clean. I went completely to sleep. I couldn't access any of those files for the next about a year and a half. Hmm. And then on 11/11/2007, I was like working a job, counting money at the end of the night. And I jokingly said, I was like managing a restaurant. And I jokingly said to my coworker, 11/11, I used to celebrate this date like a holiday. I used to think it was a portal.
Right.
And then boom, all the files opened up and I woke up again. And then I spent the next probably like 5 years integrating being awake in the Matrix, but functioning in the Matrix, which was very different than my first experience. And then I spent a long time like learning hacks for the Matrix. So I hacked abundance and figured out the like an actual like map for how the algorithm of the Matrix works and how abundance can be brought in like outside of the constructs of capitalism and just integrated stuff. And then 2012, people started coming into my life to like guide through their awakening process. And I was like, oh, okay, is this what I'm here to do, whatever. And then for the most part, I just got to live with the benefits of being awake in the Matrix while very few other people were and understanding how it worked. And so that was fun. And I guess I just thought that's what it was going to be. And then 2017 hit. And then it was like, no, we're actually going to get this party started. I was like homeschooling housewife in the suburbs, doing a little bit of stand up. And then it was just like, in the movies in the 80s where they like come get the retired detective and like drag him out of his life of leisure and put him on the case. It's like the aliens were like, okay, you're done with this marriage. You're done with this life. You're going from Delaware to LA. Your career is going to start at 40 years old. And first it was comedy kind of took off, but then it pretty quickly became obvious by like mid 2018 that it was like, oh, comedy was just so that because I did like, this is not happening. And then I say a couple things and this is not happening. I talk about a reptilian agenda. I talk about going to a place in the Matrix that brought a lot of people who were kind of waking up to pay attention. And I had started podcasting. And then at one point I had lunch with the guy, with the showrunner of This Is Not Happening. And he's like, did the aliens just hook you up with a comedy career so that you could start talking about this stuff? And I think he was maybe making fun of me, but I was like, yes, that seems to be what's happening. And after a little bit of time, like working in comedy and then potentially trying to sell a show or whatever, I was like, I'm actually not interested in this. And one thing led to another. And I just started talking about consciousness into podcast, into microphones. And then it all just kind of came into focus. And I predicted COVID. I get like metaphors. Everything's metaphor. So for the months leading up to that, I said that a glitter was about to hit the planet that was going to put everyone in a karmic washing machine to finish out their karma and make them face their worst nightmares. And then they were calling the virus glitter.
Wow.
And yeah, so I don't know. I've been on my own like healing, learning journey since then. A lot of the things that the alien said to me 24 years ago were like cryptic riddles that I only now know. What, like they said, like good and bad will cease to exist, which I understand now as our consciousness will raise to the point of non-duality. They said male and female will cease to exist. It wasn't until like 2016 that I was like, oh, it's a contract. Got it. Okay, shit.
You said it's a contract.
Explain. Construct.
Oh, construct. Yes. Okay.
It's a construct. And what else do they say? Good and bad, light and dark, male and female cease to exist. They said we've been living in a masculine, a third dimensional masculine fear-based reality, and that we were moving to a eight dimensional, but also 5D, but not the way that other people say 5D, feminine reality. In which life will be about art and creative, whatever. And I didn't know what masculine and feminine meant till like 2 years ago. And then I'm like, oh, the mind versus the feelings. Mm-hmm, and 3D being we only have 3 points of awareness. And so we're living out of our ego versus 8 points of awareness where we have the body awareness, the emotional awareness, the awareness of our connection to one another, so on and so forth. So yeah, a lot of cryptic riddles that like every day I go, oh, that's what that meant. Because now I'm here and I can see it.
Damn.
So it's a cliff.
That is amazing. Amazing. I got to say, that's like one of the best stories I've heard. Like, seriously. And I love it. I absolutely love it. And, you know, you first started off about how when you were young and you experienced all this trauma, right? What do you think the trauma had to do? No, not what the trauma had to do. Why do you think you had to experience that trauma? I guess that's what I want to ask.
So I think that part of what I really do believe that reality is, for lack of a better way to put it, it's a immersive video game. And I think that you have to, if you want to get to a point, we're coming out of a very limited reality. And I think that that's just according to cycles on the earth. I think that souls come here to experience limitation and whatever. And that if souls want to come here and help guide younger souls, and younger just meaning because we're all the same age soul-wise, but like younger in the earth thing, we have to play through. But if I'm used to hanging out in an 8D like conscious reality and I'm coming down to a 3D, there's an element to whatever my soul's kind of personality is that is just like, how do I describe this? Like, I don't play video games, but if I'm assuming there's an element of this, like if a really, really good video game player like hops onto Call of Duty, he can like play up to the level where the challenge is, you know?
Right.
And so I think we have to play through. And most of the very tuned in people that I know that have risen above victim consciousness were born into trauma, because I think, and it's different trauma for sure. Like we all had like a different flavor of it. I have some, I don't know how productive, like maybe conspiracy theories about the amount of, I don't know, this is maybe like heavy, but like sexual assault we experience as kids. But that was kind of generationally also. And so, yeah, I think that we had to play through basically to get to the level of consciousness. I also just don't know how effective I would be as a person. You know, I do believe in the idea of privilege. I do believe that like, I can't offer somebody, you know, if someone's fighting cancer, I've not had, well, that's not a good example. I have had that. Like if someone is experiencing blindness, there's only so much I can offer somebody who is experiencing blindness because I've not experienced it. And so there's only so much I can tell you that's going to benefit you because it's mostly projection on my part.
Right.
And I think the reason that people who have come here to help people move out of victim consciousness mm-hmm. and into a higher consciousness and like, hey, here's how you move out of the matrix. We had to have done it. Like we had to have played through.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that. So that gives me, definitely gives me a better understanding of when you say you have to play through. And it reminds me of something that I kind of keep in the back of my head that I came up with maybe about a year ago. Because I have my own experience with trauma in my youth as well. And I always say that I had to go through the fire to walk on water.
Exactly.
You know, if that makes sense, you know, because I've been on the spiritual journey myself forever, but it made a pivot in 2016 and then made an even stronger pivot in 2020, which led to me doing all these things that I do today, which I would have never done, you know, years ago. You know,
yeah,
but wow, that is just phenomenal. That is really, really good. So, you know, you said earlier, you said that when you were in this blue room, you were told or it came to you that, you know, you could stay or you could go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose to go, you have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of got into that a little bit. At least I think you have when you talk about, you know, helping other souls on this planet. Like, is that like what you're doing through your podcasting, through your comedy, or is there anything else that you specifically do as you have stepped into your purpose?
So how did they word it? They worded it, unite a tribe of higher dimensional beings. I also like have jokes about this. So sometimes the punchline, I overwrite sexual memory. Unite a tribe of higher dimensional beings, I think is what they said. I didn't know what any of these words meant. So I thought they meant immediately. And so I immediately started to put together my ragtag band of tweakers and would introduce myself to meth addicts as I am your tribe leader. And so now, and at first I was like, why did you make me wait 20 years to start doing this work? And that is because thank God I did not wake up while the internet existed. And I would have been standing on rooftops telling people to quit their psych meds. So I needed to grow up for 20 years. This is the job for the crone version of me.
Okay.
So I gather people. I talk into microphones and that builds a community. I learned, you know, in 2019 and 2020 that I am not a part of that community because that is how you start a cult. And so I... talk into microphones, people who resonate, which I believe the reason they resonate is we are part of a group soul. Mm-hmm. And I believe a group soul is just like we're all on the same planet, but we're in a bunch of different realities. And that what people experience is in NPCs are just people in other realities. And so we can see each other, but we're not actually in the same reality. And so the group of however many souls I am connected to are going through their own awakening process, and that my work is helping people across that initial bridge where you're afraid that you're crazy and you don't know what's happening and you're going through kind of a physiological process of remembering. And I am just kind of the voice of that. And then they find each other and they collectively start to build something that they came here to do. And so I'm like the radio DJ of their awakening while they remember who they are so they can complete whatever they came to complete for this transition. I have no idea what I do after this transition. I hope I get to hang out and check it out for a bit. But I feel very called to specifically that window of time for people. I'm like a kindergarten, consciousness kindergarten teacher.
Now, have you ever wondered, like, why you, or do you kind of believe that those that you help, you were at once in their shoes, and now you have ascended to help them, and then maybe they'll be in your shoes one day, maybe if not this lifetime, another lifetime, if and when they come back?
I think the people that I'm working with are actually fellow God, there's no good word for this. Like, I call them baby aliens, like fellow workers of the transition. And that this is all kind of theory. But so do you know anything about human design? Have you gone down that rabbit hole?
I have read a bit about it, a little bit, not much, not too familiar with it, though. In fact, I was reading something about human design probably within the last, sometime this year, the last couple months.
Okay. It's really, it's fun for the like stuff about yourself. It's really, mm-hmm. it's really helpful in the deconditioning journey, I noticed, because it's really individuating, which I think is really helpful for the moment we're in, because we've been like homogenized, right? But in the human design stuff, and I think it's just the I Ching, but in a more Americanized, container, but it is, talks about these cycles that we're going through, right? And we all know we're coming out of like a 12,000 year cycle. That's maybe part of a 75,000 year cycle, whatever, but there's a 400 year cycle called the Cross of Planning that started in 1614 and is ending in 2027. And I think of these 400 year cycles as video games. And I think this is the video game that the aliens were talking about, because it all matches. So this is why I like it. So the constructs of that video game were work. So these are the things that while the people are being influenced by the background frequency, is what they call it. This is what the humans think life is about. Work. Infrastructure. I'm looking like I'm reading here, but I don't know where the paper is. Work, infrastructure, tiny details, focus, skills, the family, and endings, I think. So in this, when the background frequency is going, the humans are like, we have to work. We have to build infrastructure. We have to expand. And what do you get? You get like colonization. You get like this shit now where they're just... we've got enough fucking strip malls, you know,
right, right.
This expansion has made it to where we have no forests, but we have a fucking, you know, GameStop in every right. city. And so the new, it was also very masculine. It was all the arrows were all pointed left. So it's all left brained masculine energy, which also lines up with what the aliens said,
what they told you. Right.
And, it was tribal. And the way that that tribal energy works in human design is kind of like, oh, we all need to get on the same page in order to do something. Well, when we all get on the same page, it creates hierarchies, right? Because we're not all on the same page, because we're individuals. And so it creates hierarchies. And then you have a lot of exclusion. You have a lot of masking. You have a lot of people biting their tongues because they want to survive in the tribe. And you have a lot of like fighting over things, you know. The energy we're moving into is about intimacy, which has already become a huge theme. People are really less concerned with being a part of a family and more concerned with an authentic intimacy. It's about abundance, which we're about to learn a lot about as we collapse, you know, whatever we're calling this late stage capitalism. It is about personal expression. It is about the individual. It is all right arrows. So it's all feminine energy. So it's like balls out flow. It's going to be change, upheaval. And now, right now, what we have in this window of time, really the door opened to this in 2017. So it's interesting because it sounds like you also got called out of, you know, you got called onto duty in 2016.
Yes.
Then we had another big... these eclipses also, it's interesting. We're finally having this conversation during eclipse season because this is it. This is the eclipse. The one on the 8th is going to change shit drastically, I believe. But that 2017 eclipse, massive consciousness upgrade that started. So like there was such a mass awakening that started in 2017. Yes. So the video games that we're shifting to, the infrastructure is going to collapse. And I've been talking about this for the last, like, I don't know, like publicly for about 6 months, but like on Patreon for about a year. And people are like, what does that mean? What does it look like? Well, the government's going to collapse. Everyone's going to kind of lose interest in it. But like literally the boat just hit the bridge and the bridge fell.
I saw that.
Expect lots of that.
Really?
Expect lots of that. Okay. Yeah. Everything that was built in that energy in the last 400 years, that was a set and that will mostly collapse. And the best way to be in the best position possible is to just sync up as much as you can with the new energies, because it's a completely different set of rules. And the number one thing there is find out what your, in human design, it's like what your authority is, mm-hmm. but find out what your body, how does your body talk to you? Does it talk to you from your gut? Does it talk to you? Like, is it more of an instinct? Find that and sharpen that, because okay. that is going to be, and get in touch with nature. And not like dorky get in touch with nature, but like literally learn how to read nature, you know?
Okay.
Because all of these things are going to be gone. Like, they're already hanging by a thread, but they are part of an old game. And so, I mean, I'm sure we'll build on top of some of them, but this is why I just like so many people exhausting themselves worrying about what the they is going to do. And it's like, they just... they knew about cycles, and they knew that they could run shit during the last cycle, and they right. did, and they all know that that's about to end, and that is why they are building bunkers. Not because they know about a meteor.
Right.
It's because they know that the energy is this close to chucking them out into the universe. So you don't even really have to worry about them too much. You don't worry about reality turning into kind of like a game of Frogger.
Mm-hmm. So how does one sharpen that the way that they, what did you say, communicate with themselves? I know you mentioned, you know, intuition and different things like that. Would you sharpen those things through like meditation or other spiritual practices?
Some people do. I'm not a spiritual practice person. I'm a very like life experience person. So for me, it is, for me, human design was something that was kind of helpful because it breaks people up into different energy types, and the energy type resonated with me. And so then I've like, oh, okay. So for me as a manifesting generator, it's like following my sacral. But even before I ever heard of human design, I was kind of already on this path of experimenting with reality. And I found that when I just did what my energy wanted to do, and how I can tell if my energy wants to do it is I have energy to do it. So when I'm doing things that are a grind, so that's when I, like when I said, when you invited me on your podcast, I was like, oh yeah, but I'm a real pain in the ass to book with, because I just don't do things I don't feel like doing. Like there are certain things I have to, but that list of have to, I have really shortened in nice. The last 10 years
okay.
because I just keep prioritizing what my energy wants to do. And it's a tremendous GPS. So I've had, I can't tell you how many experiences where suddenly I just want to be doing something else. I pivot and the thing catches on fire right behind me.
Ooh.
So Bashar, I think, is such a good resource for like yeah, encouraging yeah. people to pay attention okay. to what they want to do, because that's your guidance system. But we're also conditioned by the cross of planning, telling us, you know, like moralizing every single thing
right,
and
right. So
programming
true.
You that you have to do these things. And it's literally like the people who are still programmed into the old video game, as that video game starts to fall. In 2020, I'm curious if you felt this way. In 2020, I felt like reality became, what's that story? Were the three little pigs mm-hmm. and the big bad wolf?
Yeah.
In 2020, it felt like, okay, it is time to put my nose to the grindstone on consciousness and focus on like, and not even like in a cheesy way. I just felt like there was so much work to do, and I couldn't believe how many people, like how obvious it was to me that the pandemic and the lockdown was meant to slow us down and make us realize this was going away.
Oh my goodness.
I feel like we died on that timeline, and I couldn't believe how much everyone's like back to normal. And then they're yeah. all back to normal, quote unquote, in fucking Pet Cemetery. And I'm like, guys, that world's over. What are you doing? And I'm building this like brick house and learning how to yeah. live in a world that's coming. And it's right. so obvious to me. And literally people are driving. Roads are falling out from underneath them. Nothing's working. You're finding out. I mean, I guess it's not news to me, but a lot of people are finding out that the government's a scam for the first time in their life somehow.
Right.
Oh, and it's like, yeah, you guys are still interacting with a zombie timeline.
Yeah.
And this new thing is almost here. And so for the people who are still there, it's going to be very jarring. I think probably for a lot of us, it's going to be like, Yeah, I mean, we just was kind of waiting for this to get here.
Yeah. I've always kind of been like I don't even like saying conspiracies anymore, because I mean, like 99% of shit just seems to be true, you know.
Right.
But 2020 was definitely a year for me where I went through this huge awakening, and I became more conscious I ascended, if you will. And I did that through meditation. And one of the things I did as well to help me get there was dealing with fear, right? Mm. I had to break past that fear barrier. So what did I do? I went and jumped out of an airplane, which was such a spiritual experience for me, jumping out of 20,000 foot in the air, you know, because of the trauma I experienced. That made me just put me in such a fear-based place. And it was just like really out of control with my fear. I mean, I could tell you some things, you'd be like, oh my God, you know, but now, you know, I know how to control it instead of letting it control me. And it's just been a complete life changer, game changer for me.
Wow.
You know? And then I, in 21, April of 21, damn. So this is coming up on 3 years. Yeah. I sat with ayahuasca. First time doing any type of psychedelic. I did that for 3 nights in the desert out here in Arizona. And that was, I had to deal with fear doing that as well. And that just, woo, you know. And, you know, I started learning about chakras and all this other stuff that has completely just changed my life for the better. But yeah, 2020 was just a year of me really honing in and focusing on me, you know, focusing on me. And then when we talk about energy, just being aware of my energy, and not only my energy, but the energy of others. And I guess that has also helped me kind of navigate through this matrix over the last three and a half years now, you know. So,
yeah.
Wow, I really feel you on that.
Do you have a sense that you are doing those things for a reason?
Oh, without doubt. Yeah, I know 100% that I have stepped into my purpose. You know, and, you know, I was caught up in a rat race like a lot of people forever, you know, working corporate America and, you know, trying to get more and have more. But that shit just came to a halt. Like, it doesn't matter. I realized that is nothing. That is nothing.
Yeah.
And I just became this grounded person who stepped into his purpose. And that is being guided by, something greater than me, you know. And I used to be this religious dude, right? I was raised in Christianity. I was one of those kids who went to church 3 to 5 times a week. And, you know, I believe in God, if we want to call him God. I call it the Father, you know, but I can call it the source, the universe or whatever. But I tell people all the time, you know, I feel closer to the Father more than ever.
Right.
Compared to when I was in that religion, that cult, whatever we want to call it. But really, Jessa, what I learned, that I am one with the Father.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my truth, you know. And again, it's just been an amazing ride. But yeah, I've definitely found my purpose. And this podcast is one of them. I started a nonprofit as well, where I help a lot of people that truly need help. I've you know, wrote a book, in the process of writing a second book. But I mean, it's, you know, and I don't say all that to, like, you know, like pat myself on the back. But again, it just comes back to, you know, knowing how to deal with fear. I'm doing things that I would have been just afraid to do, scared to do, you know, years ago. So,
right. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been a lot more productive than I have.
Hey, you know, we're all on the same journey, heading to the same place, you know, heading to the same place. It's on different journeys, I should say. But, you know, you mentioned that eclipse. Tell me about the April 8th eclipse. I want to know about that. I've heard about it and I know it's coming up. But, you know, if you could just touch on the significance of this eclipse coming up on April 8th.
Okay. So for me, and I usually start out with this disclaimer, but I believe that the consciousness that we all share here is like a mirror ball, and that every one of the little mirror squares are just a perspective. I don't really believe in objective truth. I believe that all of our truths together are a truth. And so I speak with kind of an authority of the things I'm talking about, but they're literally downloads I get in my brain that might be, you know, short-circuited from drug use. So take all of that with a grain of salt. My understanding of of the role of eclipses in the video game is that they are little mini set breaker downers and new sets being built. And they change the eclipses happen every, I want to say 6 months, and they stay in a set of nodes, which are opposite signs, for 18 months. I actually did not know what any of this was until 2019, but I had felt the sensation of this set change that turned out to be, and it makes me very manic, and we're in it right now, so I probably sound like I've had a lot of Adderall. But
no, you're fine.
It wasn't until an astrologer was like, you're talking about eclipses. So anyway, some significant eclipses. We had a really significant set of eclipses, or we had the eclipses in 2017, which began a lot of people's awakening journey. Now, a lot of people's awakening journey began with suddenly not wanting to work their job, suddenly not wanting to be in their relationship, suddenly feeling like, what's happening to me, whatever. And then in the summer of 2019, we had the 5D download eclipses. And that is 100% just what aliens told me. That is, I've not heard anyone else say that. So for my understanding, what 5D, 6D, 7D, 8D, all these things are, they are not places. And dimensions means different things in different places. But for here in this video game, dimensions are, you know, like when you get an IKEA piece of IKEA furniture, you got a dimension going this way, a dimension going this way. So living in the 3D is living in a house that's a triangle. And that means you have three windows to look out of, three points of awareness. So we've got the, we've got just consciousness is one window, which is whatever. Instinct, animal instinct is another window. And then the ego is the third window. So the ego is a programmable aspect of your avatar. And once you're more conscious, you can program it to be whatever you want. But up until the time you become conscious, you're a subconscious being. You don't know why you're doing anything you're doing. That's why everyone's full of shit, but you can't tell them they're full of shit because they don't know until they wake up. And so the ego is just whatever has been programmed into you from childhood. And that's why you see so many people that are just like trying to make their dad happy, but they don't know that that's what they're doing in all their relationships, whatever. It's because they're just operating out of the ego. It's an extremely unconscious way to be. In 2012, we had eclipses that brought the 4D download. The 4D download was the mental network. So some people had this already because some people have been balls out awake always. But what happened when the 4D hit the planet? And this is a download like when you're computer gets an update. It takes a long time to integrate. It can take years to integrate. It took us 5 years to integrate 4D. That, what came with that is people started being able to hear their conscious thoughts. Not everyone could do that before then. I couldn't hear my conscious thoughts till I woke up. And I remember after like 3 months of being awake, I was like, oh my God, it's not been quiet in here. And there are lots of people, this is something they talk about on TikTok, that do not currently hear their inner monologue.
Wow.
And those are people that just don't have that 4D thing on, you know? I would love to find the mute button personally. But when we got that download, we also got a little bit of a psychic ability. And that psychic ability, this is way back in 2012, that psychic ability is we could start to hear people lying. And all of this is trying to bring us back to telepathy. So the way, this is like baby shit now, but this was a huge deal 5 years ago when I was talking about. So when someone's lying to you, you know how you can just tell because it feels like subtext. You don't necessarily know what they're lying about, but you're just like, there's just subtext in what you're saying.
Yeah.
We collectively did not get that ability until 2012. Huh. So anyway, 2019, 5D hit the planet. And the 5D is your emotions. And so when they say we're going to live on 5D, we're not going to fucking float away to another planet. And it's like, this is the 5D version. It just is, rather than currently everything we experience is through the ego and separation consciousness, we will experience through the heart space.
Ooh.
And so everything will be processed emotionally, and that will be the primary awareness center. And we're seeing this already. This is like the millennials. The poor millennials had to be the first ones to come in with the heart space open. That's why they're quote unquote snowflakes. I would not, you couldn't fucking pay me to be a millennial. Thank you for your service, millennials. Hard job. Now, I got my heart center opened in the last few years. I started feeling my feelings, but like, Jesus, only after thinking they were like little babies for a long time first. Couldn't imagine having that thing open the whole time. So 5D is the heart space. So now you live in a pentagon shaped house. So when something happens to you, you have the choice of looking out your ego, which sometimes we pick. You have the choice of looking out your mental space and going, let me do some algebra over this thing. Or you have the choice of perceiving it through your heart space. And I call what a lot of us are still stuck doing called bringing your head to a heart party, where it's like, this is actually a feelings conversation, but you're still trying to break it down in the mental. Okay. This in people's consciousness journey, I call like, I know it. I'm pointing at my head right now. I know it, but I don't know it. Like those of us on this journey have listened to a lot of podcasts. We've consumed a lot of info. We're like, I fucking know this. Why can't I integrate it? It's because it's a heart party. That's 5. The 60 download hit in January of 2020, and all the aliens told me at the time was, don't worry about this one. You're not going to be able to do any of it and anything with it until you integrate the 70 download. And so we'll come back to that one. 70 download is the body, and that came in January of 2021, and the integration of that will mean a chronic illness, health issue, or injury for almost everyone. Some sort of something with your body. And
in 21.
Okay. And since then, I know very few people that have not had a chronic illness or a chronic injury or some sort of health thing, whether it be a sudden food sensitivity, whatever. The purpose of that is to bring you into the body and I got Lyme disease. Teach you how to operate the tech of the body, because the majority of the reality we have been experiencing has completely lacked awareness of the body. The body is actually your GPS. The body is actually where all of your information is. No teacher, no guru, no consensus, no whatever in the future, just your body telling you what to do. Most of us are so dissociated from it. So when the body the body has been integrating since then. It takes forever for these things to integrate. And so that's a lot of like your diet is not, nobody else is going to be able to tell you your diet. Your diet's going to be very specific to your body, the kind of exercise that your body wants, sensitivities. My body recently was like, if you put more one piece of plastic clothing on me, I'm going to freak the fuck out. Sleep, all of this, like learning how to operate within the body. The nervous system. Nervous system work is the most crucial thing you could do.
Nervous system
work. For all of it.
Okay.
And on the other side of the nervous system being balanced, then the 6D kicks in. The 6D is the creative spark and the ability to create new things, which is going to be what everything's about moving forward. And so if you haven't done the nervous system work and you haven't like integrated the body yet, you might have a sensation of like revving at the starting line, like feeling like you're supposed to be doing something, but you don't have the energy to do it. That is, it's time for you to do something, but you've not yet got the body up and running. So anyway, Jesus, Jessa, land the plane. So that one took a while. So the 8D and final download. And these dimensions are not for everyone on Earth. They're dimensions, they're available downloads for each individual to experience more points of awareness. The AT download is, I've been calling it ecosystem consciousness or mycelium consciousness. This is our connection to one another. And this is going to completely transform the way we operate in reality, because the separation consciousness is the glitch. Right. And there's a lot of people who feel like they're compassionate, but they're only able to show compassion for people they believe are part of their group or people they deem as victims. They're not really able to see where anyone's coming from that they don't like or resonate with. And you can only get so far with that. So that's coming in. And then a real power punch of like raw individuality. And by that, I mean
authenticity.
Yes, like everyone's starting to move into their own power. We've been in a very disempowered state, and the power has been concentrated by us, you know, and kind of hijacked by a parasitic collective at the top. That it's like personal empowerment and the individual really stepping into their own individuated power. Mm. So this is, this take, I think about a year to integrate. And this really changes the way that we show up and it's because it's an awareness. And so mm-hmm. people are just suddenly going to be aware of where they are. And so consumerism will really fall. Separation consciousness will really start to shift. And not for everybody, but for a lot, right. you right. know, right. and right. like a real, and it won't be, we'll learn the art of divestment. It won't be, everyone won't agree. That'll never happen. But there will be less shadow boxing people you don't agree with and more like smaller communities gathering together and resonating and then really kind of learning to like live and let live people they don't agree with. And so these bigger structures, I think, will be gone like in under 10 years because of that, because there'll be no energy holding it up.
All those eight that you just described, it kind of reminds me of when people talk about the Christ consciousness. Is that kind of along those lines or?
Yeah, I don't really know anything about, I've heard Christ consciousness and I just always assumed that it's referring to the same thing, but I don't know, like if someone's like broken that down into it, it is, I think we go through cycles where we are unconscious of who we are and then cycles where we are conscious. And this, once all these are all eight, the like separation between me and my higher self won't exist. It's like you'll be living on earth as your higher self.
Mm, so good. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, Jessa, there are a couple things I want to ask you about. You know,
okay.
like before we hit record, I told you that I heard, I think, two interviews where you were on Dopey and you told us some pretty, pretty crazy, awesome stories, right? I want you to tell me about this damn owl story that you ran into this owl. And then I want you to get in kind of into like the reptilian agenda too a bit. So you take your pick, whichever one you want to start with first. I want to hear that that owl story though.
Okay. So, So I don't know why people kept me around. So my teeth immediately fell out. Like my teeth were already not great because I was a teen mom and I didn't have dental insurance or whatever. So my teeth were already not great. But as soon as I started doing meth, they were just like gone. So through most of my active addiction, I did not have teeth. And I also was just like, you know, I was walking around talking to aliens and having supernatural experiences. So I did not do crime other than like, you know, dealing drugs or whatever. But people who did kept me around. And I don't know why. I think I was entertaining. I knew how to cure a lot of drug addicts' problems. And I think I was just entertaining. And I was like real confusing for the cops. And I was always, not a fan of the institution. You know, I was raised by an addict. And so, I would happily go be the one to go talk to the police. And I was real irritating for them to deal with because I would just be honest. So I was like, all right, well, so the aliens and we are part of a collective consciousness. And then my friends are just like shredding paper and flushing their drugs down the toilet. So I think that's why. I don't know why. I have no idea. I think because aliens made them take care of me. I have no idea. But I was well taken care of during that time. I was not always. There's a couple homeless stints, but anyway. This is the story of a friend who took me to do crime who should not have taken me to do crime. So we're driving up weed from Mexico, and this was however long ago the statute of limitations was. And this is, you know, you couldn't buy it at the drugstore like you can now. And there's weed in the trunk, and we stop at a rest stop, and he parks super far away because he's paranoid. And I, at this point, I left this part out of the cliff notes. Right after I died at the Ohm, the next day I was back at the club, and I had just woken up. So synchronicities started happening all over the place. Mm. And at the end of the night, they turned the lights on, and there was a pendant on the floor that had the goddess Athena on one side and an owl on the other side. Mm. Now I failed every grade until ninth grade. And then I dropped out. I am wildly uneducated, extremely uneducated. I just learned like American geography. I don't know anything. I now kind of know a little bit about mythology. I knew nothing about mythology at this point. And so I pick it up. The owl feels very significant because owls were always a little bit synchronistic. I show it to some dude next to me and I'm like, what is this? It's the goddess Athena. He says, that's Osiris. So I put that pendant on and I was like, I am Osiris. Because a lot of my early awakening was like trying to figure out who I was, you know? And so I wore this fucking pendant for a year believing I was Osiris until somebody else was like, dipshit. That's a Greek. That's anyway. I didn't find it was Athena until 2019. So owls were significant. It just felt like a clue to me. So we stop at a rest stop. He parks too far away because he's paranoid. I go into the bathroom. I come out. There is a king size pillow and an owl that is the size of the king size pillow laying on the pillow. And so I bend down. Yeah. I check it out. It's like warm. And it seemed kind of alive. And I also don't know. I'm like, I don't know if owls hibernate. I don't know. I'm like, but this is definitely for me. And so I bring it with me and I go back up to the car. And my friend Tom is like, what the fuck? And I'm like, it's an owl and it's maybe, I don't know. It might be hibernating. I brought the pillow. And then he's like, you're not bringing a maybe a lot. What the fuck? Like, it's literally his talons were the size of my hands. It was like, that thing is going to maul us. We have weed in the trunk. Oh. And I'm like, I have to bring it. So I put it in the, in the pillowcase. Because it could no way it could escape a pillowcase.
Which talons the size of your hand.
Yeah. No way these can penetrate linen. So it's in the back seat. He's sketched as hell. We get to the first stop where we're dropping off some of the weed and we just go to this like normie's house. And I don't know how it is now, but people don't like tweakers. I don't know if you know that. They do not like meth addicts. But you have to deal with meth addicts and junkies. Or the cartel or something. If you want a good deal on bulk drugs, you're going to have to deal with some people who do this for a living. And so they already don't like us. So we get to the house. It's some dork. He's like in his 40s. And he's got like a man cave. We're late. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. We get in there. I'm already like, I already look crazy. I've like, either have braids in my hair. I've got 20 pigtails in my hair. I don't have teeth. And the guy smokes a huge bowl of weed, which I'm sure he lived to regret because I then smoked some meth because it was a road trip and energy drinks make my stomach hurt. And after I took a couple hits of meth, I remembered that I have an owl. And I was like, Tom, where's the keys to the car? I got to go get the owl. And Tom's like, do not go get the owl. And the guy's sitting kind of between us and he's kind of looking back and forth between us. And I think, yeah, there's no way he has like a category of reason for what's happening here. You know, he's not like, oh, she must have a dead owl that she thinks she's going to reanimate with meth. So anyway, I think he thought it was something we smoke out of or whatever. So I take Tom's keys. I go get the owl. I bring the owl in. And in my head, the owl needs meth to come back to life. I really thought meth was bringing so much into my life. I really was oversold on its benefits.
Oh, Lord.
I think because my mom is a meth addict and she was the source of a lot of my trauma. And I think that I personally needed to go do meth in order to like retrace my steps and heal a lot of stuff. And then I needed to leave society and meth helped me leave society. But nobody else had a good time with it. But then this owl, I probably didn't have a blast with it either. But anyway, so I come back into the garage. I hit the bowl. I then try to shotgun meth smoke into the owl's face. Which I'm sure you've had a million of these stories on your consciousness podcast. The meth opens the owl's eyes like a Furby if it was vaping.
Wow.
And that made me think I was getting it. And I was in my own pod, like my own reality, which I often am. So I was like, I got it, you know? And then I don't got it. And then the weed dork is just like jaw open, like what the hell is happening? Tom doesn't even look up. I've been living in Tom's kitchen for the last 4 months, curing MRSA by putting, you know, cayenne pepper into people's like butt wounds or whatever. Tom is completely impervious to my bullshit, but Weed Dork is having a traumatic experience that I'm sure he's still talking about. Anyway, so I give the owl about a half teener. Doesn't work. So I'm like, all right, we'll work on it again. We get to Portland. I put it back in the pillowcase. We go home. And for the next, I don't know, I think it was about 2 weeks, I just keep trying to bring the owl back. The owl never stops being warm and it never decomposes. And that might be because I embalmed it with meth. But everyone's pretty tired of it. And one day I leave for a little while, however long it takes to like steel mail or whatever. And I leave the owl with Tom. And when I come back, so I hadn't heard this. I forgot that this happened. That's how insane my life has been, is I actually forgot this entire experience until I did This Is Not Happening and told a different, somehow more disgusting meth story that then all of a sudden old friends started showing up on my Facebook group. And they were like, hey, Jessa, do you remember when you carried a dead owl around for 2 weeks and gave it all of our meth? And then I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about this. And it wasn't until I told this story as someone who'd been sober for like 14 years that I was like, oh, my God, I cannot believe I fell for this. But so I was the only person who was conscious. And I don't know how to describe, like, before social media and like all this, like, you know, tech bros doing a little ayahuasca and then just throwing these words around. Like, I came home and he said an owl shaman came by. And I'm just telling you that, like, my people did not have access to that fucking word in 2004.
Right.
So I don't even, like, literally, he says to this day, this, an owl shaman came by and needed the owl. And so I gave it to her and she left you these incense. And it wasn't until I told that story as a sober person that I was like, oh, he threw my owl in a dumpster. What? and Jack and the Beanstalked me with these fucking gas station incense. But I was like, oh, what a synchronicity. You know, maybe that's who I was keeping it methed for.
Oh my God.
So there's that.
You used to have the pendant.
I don't. I lost it, and it. Well, I looked it up and tried to find it, get another one. They're very expensive. And that's when I found out it was Athena, which is a lot, you know, less cringy for me to be walking around saying I am. Made a lot more sense.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I just had to hear it again. I mean, that was even better from when I heard it the first time on Dopey. So, thank you. And I know my audience just loved it. That is just classic Hidden Gateway right there. Thank you. All right. So we're going to talk about the reptilian race now.
Okay.
I just want to get your thoughts on that. Just tell me what you know about it. I'm just so interested to know about this reptilian agenda and if they are really the ones, like a lot of people say, that are in control of this planet, that these globalists, these elites report to. Do you think that's true?
I don't anymore. Don't? Okay. Okay. I think it is very similar to lots of kind of paranoia about other races, you know, other groups of people, other groups of beings that you don't know anything about. So the longer I've been in this and the more information I've gotten, the more you know, it's like anything else. You expand and you see a bigger piece of the picture. So first become conscious, so where we live in the 3D is there are only so many mythologies that you can experience in the 3D. And a big one of those, because we're in like the densest of separation consciousness, is victim, villain, savior. And so every single story falls into the mythology of victim, villain, savior. So when you first start to be conscious and you've not integrated all these other points of awareness, which ultimately, if you're at 8 points of awareness, you're in non-duality, right? Because you can see and feel and understand it all.
Right.
So when you first start to wake up, it's for the most part a mental experience, and you are still in the mythology of victim, villain, savior. And when you first start to wake up, there is this sensation of like, why didn't I know this? Who lied to me? Who kept me here? You know, there's kind of this paranoia. Mm-hmm. And the proverbial they, becomes a huge point of focus. I don't know if you've noticed the mass exodus from the New Age movement back to Christianity in the last year.
I have not.
Okay, there's been a lot of that. And that, my theory is, people who get stuck in the conspiracy or conspirituality phase, your consciousness journey should have a phase of good and evil. But if it stays in the good and evil mythology, because some people make that their entire identity, then you will not be able to progress into the higher points of awareness, because the higher you get, the more you have to see what's actually the wiring under the board. And the wiring under the board is actually that we put ourselves into unconsciousness, and that a lot of these things are just kind of a mechanism, and that all these things we don't like are an extension of us. There are reptilians that are a part of this thing. They play a much smaller role than beings that aren't even here. But I can't remember when it was, and I am I am a reptilian Sirian hybrid, and that was something I was guided to learning 20 something years ago. And
the aliens told you that? Is that how you found out?
Yeah, it was weirdly, they told me to look up. I knew I was Sirian, and then they told me to look up Rh negative blood, which is actually, I think, how I found out about reptilians. So I looked up Rh negative blood alien, and I got all this David Icke or whatever that guy's last name is.
Right.
David Icke stuff. And then I was like, the reptilians, whatever. And I mean, this is 2001. So I was raging against the machine because 9/11 had like radicalized me.
Right.
And so it all fit together. And because I just felt like everyone else was like, so clearly being propagandized in a group hypnosis, which we've seen lots of these mass hypnosis events now, but this was my first one. And I was still very much in the us versus them. So my understanding of the they that we understand right now, that we are perceiving right now, is a parasitic race that is probably more connected to Orion. And so I don't know if you've done much, looked into the Law of One, and I've only like skimmed a couple videos about it, but it talks about service to self, service to others. So there are two ways of existing in consciousness once you get out of the 3D. You can be, I guess what they're calling service to self. You can be a self-empowered individual energy. And that means you create your own energy, you create your own authority, whatever. Or you can engage in like vampiric or parasitic energy, which means you will not make your own energy. You will not be able to create reality. However, you do have the option of experiencing the bliss of taking from others' energy. Ooh. And a lot of souls choose to go this path. And a lot of them are move on to Orion. And a lot of, like, let's say the physical avatars that we're seeing may be reptilians. Some of them are aging like reptilians. But the consciousness, because there are lots of great reptilians, the consciousness that we are, that they are subscribed to, is a parasitic consciousness that feeds off of humans who are creative beings, but when they are unconscious, they don't know that. So all you have to do is control their minds and they will create your reality for you.
Wow.
I believe that they manifest here in actual physical parasites. So you know that like actual physical parasites can get into the mind of like a grasshopper and get the grasshopper to stand on the grass so the cat will eat it or whatever. I'm messing that up. And then they literally possess. Most humans are just an Edgar suit for some parasites who get to then LARP on Earth until the human wakes up. And waking up, almost most humans, when they go through awakening process, they go through a process of a parasite cleanse. There becomes an awareness that, and I learned so much about this with Lyme disease, so much of this Lyme disease. I was like, oh, they have consciousness. And when their consciousness is embedded in your brain, you don't know the difference between them and you. So that's a consciousness, like a parasite consciousness, that's like a hive mind that interacts with like the physical avatars that we know. And there is, I think that's what the deal with the devil kind of is.
Right.
And there's a lot of that, right? So we've got the entities that get the celebrities, because celebrities are receiving other people's energy because people yes. worship celebrities, right?
Right.
Anybody who is drawn to power is most likely not in their own power. So you do get people who like become a celebrity because they like to make art, and then they're like, oh wait, this is something different than I thought it was, and a lot of them will leave, or they will be very recluse or whatever. But the kind of people that get up on a stage and are like, yes, worship me, whatever, they have and I learned this part from my partner, but they have an entity usually that they have made an exchange with that they probably don't consciously know they've made an exchange with. That's the other thing. A lot of people don't they're doing this unconsciously, but they've made an exchange with churches. Also have a lot of this parasitic thing where everybody gets lost in the worship and the parasites are there just pulling that emotional energy. It's louche, whatever you call it. This only happens in unconscious reality. Once we become conscious again, none of that stuff can last. And that is why the government is like, what are these guys like 95 years old or whatever? That's just showing you that that thing's dying. There is no fresh new version of it because it's an energy mining thing. Hollywood is collapsing. Like, this is just the very beginning of the disclosures.
Yes, Hollywood is collapsing. And I agree, it's the beginning. I think we're going to see a lot of things falling in Hollywood over the next few years here.
Yeah. 2024 is like, and is 2024, 2025, but really 2024 is like every conspiracy theory comes out to be true, you know? And and it's for those of us that have just kind of known this, it's interesting to watch the amount of grief, even though I knew this was coming, the amount of grief that comes for the humans to realize none of these things are what you've been told they are. They're all energy mining operations. Yeah. And that is just kind of the nature of unconscious reality. It gives the parasitic energies a place to feed. Mm-hmm. They literally can't feed when you're awake because you just say no. And so kind of the like raging against the things. So the World Economic Forum stuff is a psyop. Like I just, there's, in order to create reality, you have to get creative beings to imagine it first. And there is this like pipeline of propaganda put out, to, like served to conspiracy theorists. And then the conspiracy theorists make it real. Like I see it like seeds, and the conspiracy theorists put it in a little wet paper towel. And once it spreads, then they can take it and plant it elsewhere. So a lot of the plan stuff, the agenda stuff can be dangerous to be constantly talking about because you are a creative being and your creative power is being used to create a reality that you do not desire. And you think that you are trying to inform everybody. And so a lot of people, when you, they're like, and also it's very obvious if you're looking at it through the lens of discernment, like the guy looks like a, I don't know, he looks like a Jim Henson villain or whatever. It's like so obvious. And when, so there's ways to say, like, also calling them the elite, calling them the ruling class, words or spells, you're casting parasites into positions that they actually can't create without us. Yeah. And so it's all mind control. It's the only trick in their bag, which is also something that reptilians are very good at. Okay. But this thing is actually a parasitic thing that's not from here, and it can only exist here when we are unconscious. And so the light that needs to be brought to all this is each individual just doing their own work and stepping into their own power. Ooh. And a lot of people are trapped in disempowerment by just constantly talking about they. So you're casting them. Yeah. As your ruler by doing that.
Right.
And so, but that's all kind of naturally falling away. Hollywood stuff will keep getting exposed. Government stuff, you know, like the government's overplaying their hand right now. They just, a lot of people just finding out, oh, the government just kills people. Yes. Yes. Yeah, they actually, there's not a good team on the government, actually.
Not at all.
A lot of people just finding that out.
Yeah.
And that will result in a heartbreak and then kind of a fit. And then a stepping into individual power. So this is actually Yeah. So that's the reptilians are, you know, you get the Anunnaki, the reptilians, everybody kind of played a role because this is a little bit of a, aquarium of every alien type of energy, but the them is parasite, just parasiting. That's their job. Like they're just supposed to parasite. You don't want parasites to do a parasite cleanse. That's it. They actually can't take anything from you that you're not, you stop hosting, you know?
So it makes me think of like 2020 with COVID and then this vax shit that's been going on for a few years now. 2020 obviously generated a lot of fear. So maybe that was something that they feed off that fear, you think?
Yeah. So the thing that's been really interesting to me, I guess I knew that they were going to overplay their hand because that's the nature of it. But the thing that's been really interesting to me is how sloppy everything seems to have gotten. And how much they are trying to squeeze the very last drop when their time is literally. So they, because we've been in a period of unconsciousness, we don't remember the cycles. Like, I love the work of Matteo Stefano. He explains a lot of things and I'm like, yes, this is exactly it. So we usually know about the cycle. And he talks about how, as we were finishing up, like we finish up different, like Homo erectus, Homo sapiens sapien, Homo sapien, you know, we finish up these different, and we're at the end of this iteration of humans, of Homo sapiens. And we are kind of aware of that, right? And so there is this kind of sense of like trepidation or whatever, because something is coming to replace us, the physical vessels. And he talks about Atlantis, that Atlanteans kind of started to fall asleep towards the end, which is my memories of Atlantis, that we started to go into unconsciousness. And this is why there's an overlap, because now we're coming out of it. And that we started to colonize. We started to proselytize. We started to try to impose our views on the world because Atlanteans knew, because of the cycles, we knew our cycle was ending. And we were like, well, we have to make sure that everyone remembers. And then we became violent trying to make sure that everyone remembers, you know? And so what has been hidden from your average human, because we've been in scientific materialism, is that all of this information, astrology, the cycles, the I Ching, all of these different modalities of knowing where we are in the human consciousness experience is when we're conscious, information that we have. They've never not had that information. Those few families that have just benefited, they know what the fuck astrology is.
Right.
You know, they know what the cycles are. They know when they can play and when they cannot play. And so they know that it's about to end. And I think that the plan in going underground is like the energy will not support them. And when all the humans that they are using as hosts for their reality wake up, which is currently happening every single minute, like people are waking up to propaganda every single minute, which is part of that 5D download, was the gift of discernment. I can't even watch scripted movies anymore because I can hear the actors' fucking insecurities and the writer's agenda and everything else. It's like,
wow.
Yeah, the illusion is over. So they know the Age of Pisces is ending. And so they're going to go hide underground and try to keep the bloodline alive.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll succeed to get down there because they better leave quick and try to keep the bloodline alive until we are going back into another like unconscious age. And then they can come up and play again. But they have been benefiting from the understanding of the humans. So I think there is a slight hope that you can get everyone to upload their consciousness, or that transhumanism might bypass the awakening of the humans. So I think that seems to be why they're trying so desperately to get certain things in play. And it's not to say the stuff the World Economic Forum is saying isn't true, but it's like, if they're letting you see those conversations, you have to pause and ask yourself, why are they letting me see those conversations? Is this a plan that they have, but they can't possibly create that because they're parasites? So they need us to run around as creative beings and speak it into existence and imagine it into an existence so they can pull this shit off faster than the human consciousness. So what this eclipse is going to do is going to bring in such a huge packet of information I'm talking wild, crazy awakenings. Dang. The people, because I do sessions and stuff with people too. The when someone wakes up now, they wake up to the highest available and a point of awareness, mm-hmm. and their process is short. Like what took me 20 years takes people 6 months now.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say we're at millions of people conscious already.
Oh yeah.
But this is like people you never thought were going to wake up are going to snap awake and are right. snapping awake already in the next couple of years. I think a lot of humans will leave and have been leaving. There will be a mass exodus because there won't be so many. Our souls are super, super divided because there's so many bodies. And so our souls mm-hmm. will kind of consolidate into less bodies. But of who's left, most will be awake. It will mostly be a conscious reality. And then everyone else will kind of exit, I think. So anyway, yeah, I don't know why they're overplaying their hand other than I think it's kind of a desperate attempt. I think when you're high on power, it's hard to give it up, even though you know mm-hmm. your time is up. So yeah, I do think there is an attempt to get chips into people or to get them into some sort of like uploading their consciousness into Meta, into something, mm-hmm. 15 minutes, something where you can hook them up to tech and bypass the consciousness. But there's just no fucking way. I mean, there's no way that works at this point. It's too critical. We've already hit critical mass. So now it's just kind of watching them slither, you know, watching them slither out of the butts of the collective consciousness.
Or owls. All right. So, all right. That is so good. That is so deep, Jessa. Thank you so much for that. I have one final question for you, my friend. Mm-hmm. And this is something I ask each and every guest that comes on the Hidden Gateway podcast. And I would love for you to leave our audience with what I like to call a token of love, just something that you feel that people need to hear in this moment. Obviously, over the last hour and a half here, you have dropped so many things. But if you had one thing to share with the good people, what would it be as they continue their journeys?
Trust your experience as it is playing out for you. Mm. What, you know, kind of what you were explaining, like you went and faced your fears, you sought meditation, which was right for you, and you're just trusting like waking up, remembering is kind of traumatic and it's kind of hard. We've been unconscious and forgotten for thousands of years. And it is like labor, in that your body knows how to do it perfectly if you just leave it alone. And so don't compare yourself to what other people are doing. Your body will tell you if it doesn't want something. It will let you know. You don't need to. You could be on the internet and everybody's telling you to do something different. We're not all the same thing. Just trust your process. You're not going to miss the boat. You're not moving too slow. You didn't get started too late. Wow. Everything is exactly how you wanted to do it. I now think that people who wake up at the last minute are brilliant, and that waking up 20 years ago is the equivalent of when you get into the line for the exit way before everyone else. And then you just are stuck in traffic while everybody else zips in at the last second. Yeah. Zipping in at the last second is fine. Your fear that you're going to miss it or you're going to be on the other side of the split is just Christian rapture propaganda still working its way out of your system. Wow. You are exactly where you are supposed to be, and you are doing a great job.
Wow, that is absolutely, I love that. Thank you so much. In fact, you have been just a phenomenal guest. I have genuinely enjoyed my conversation with you.
Oh, thank you.
This is a Hidden Gateway classic. I mean, you're so informative, you're so funny, and you are so authentic. Yes, you are. And please tell the people where they can find you. Website, if you have any, you know, comic shows coming up, social media, any of that good stuff.
JessaReed.com is my website, and that's kind of got links for everything. Jessa Reed on Instagram. I try to be kind of more normal there and comedy-like. I don't do stand-up anymore as of right now. Mm-hmm. I just started making TikToks, kind of teaching cool. about some of this stuff and also how to be an anarchist because it's time. And Patreon. I mostly hide on Patreon, patreon.com/Jessa Reed, I think. I don't know. You can get to it from my website. I do have a free tier and I put out episodes there. I have a podcast called Awakening OD, where it's kind of a comedy awakening podcast where I do an impression of the aliens, like yelling at you. So it's making fun of your process.
Oh,
and
my God.
An older podcast called Soberish, which was my kind of coming out of the woo closet. Mm. Another older podcast called Mormon and the Meth Head, if you want to know about all my trauma. But I don't know. That's that version of me is long gone. And yeah, that's it. If you want the current stuff, I'm very active on Patreon, and there's paid tiers, but there's also like a free tier where I just, you know, I put up episodes and blab and stuff. It's just nice to have everybody kind of in one place. And there's like a community there too, if you're looking for other, you know, people out of their minds.
That's awesome. Well, Jessa, thank you so much once again for being a guest.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You were amazing. Such an awesome personality, awesome person. And to our audience, I really hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Just a classic Hidden Gateway episode, good people. You know, stay connected with us as always at thehiddengateway.com. If you want to speak to us, shoot us an email at support@thehiddengateway.com. And thank you for pushing your mindset towards a better reality. Now, this will conclude this week's episode. Until next time, stay positive, stay questioning, be love, and be free. The Hidden Gateway, out.